NFL baseball tonight. Get a little respite. Yankees are off before they begin the final stretch before the All-Star break in Tampa, in Baltimore against the Orioles. Mets played this afternoon against the Pittsburgh Pirates. Brandon Nimmo hit this clutch two-run home run, swinging at a 3-0 pitch, which he never does. And then Carlos Mendoza pilled Christian Scott way too early. He went to Eric Orsi, and the Mets ended up getting blown out. By the way, Eric Orsi is in a very tough spot right now.
Why?
Hear me out on this.
Okay.
And this could cause a Tiki rabbit hole. It's very possible. Or you may be bored by it and say, okay, cool, let's move on. Eric Orsi came in today, did not record an out, but got a loss. So he does not have an ERA because he never recorded an out, but he has a loss. How many guys in the history of baseball have registered a loss but don't have an ERA because they never recorded an out? That's not a spot you want to tell the Orsi grandchildren many years from now. So I hope for the sake of Eric Orsi, he gets another opportunity, not necessarily with the Mets, where he can get an out or two and at least register an earned run average so he doesn't go into the record books of having a loss and no ERA.
I feel like I want to comment, but it was his first time in the majors, right?
But what if it's his last? I feel bad for him.
You're infamous. You're infamous.
I don't know if you want that.
I mean, that'll be a crossword puzzle at some point.
Are you interested enough to find out how many guys in the history of baseball have an ERA? Not have an ERA.
I will.
But have a loss?
But I do know now the crossword answer because it's perfect. It's four letters.
Orsi.
And it's got a Z in the middle.
That's
so
right.
It's easily put into a crossword puzzle.
Now, there you go.
Because the vowel, the two consonants, and then another vowel at the end. It's actually kind of perfect.
There it is. And I do wish Eric Orsi
future crossword puzzle.
Yes, sir. Hopefully not for this reason. I hope he gets another opportunity. He's a cancer survivor. He's a good dude, I think. He made it to the major leagues, which is a dream.
Right.
I hope he doesn't have to live in a world in which he doesn't have an ERA and only has a loss. So I hope he gets an opportunity. Maybe when the Mets are up 13-1 tomorrow night against the Nationals, he can come in and get a couple of outs. We'll get to Joe Burrow's brilliant idea for the NFL, but let's get back to some of your calls, which includes Scott calling from Jackson, New Jersey. What's up, Scott?
Yeah, I'll tell you what. I'm a huge Mets fan, lifelong Mets fan. I went into this year with such hope with Pete Alonso. It's clear he's pressing. You look at what he's doing compared to what Aaron Judge did in his contract year. It's like night and day. Pete will come out with some good stats, but how many of his stats are game-changing stats? How many of his home runs change the game? How many of his RBIs change the game? They just, majority of them just aren't. Nimmo and Lindor deserve to be there over him. They are having an impactful season. Their fielding is 10 times better than Pete's. Pete's an average first baseman at best.
Okay.
Listen, he's a good guy. He's a good guy. But I'm honestly, bigger picture, I'm not even going to be broken hearted if the Mets don't sign him.
Well,
I think we could do better.
I would agree that he has not had a great contract year. Yeah. I would agree with that.
But does that make him less desirable? Or does it make it easier, as our last caller was alluding to move on from him should the Mets and Pete's people?
I think that there are some Met fans who look at the emergence of Mark Vientos and look at Pete Alonso kind of taking a little bit of a step back. It's weird to compare his year last year. His power numbers are way down. He had 46 home runs last year. He's at 18 right now. But he's already got as many doubles this year as he had last year. His batting average is up by about 30 points. His OPS is down a little bit. So it's kind of weird to kind of gauge last year to this year. But I think what's going to make it easier for some Met fans, maybe not me, is that Mark Vientos is now supplying this big right-handed pop, and it's going to come down to the money he demands. What I find really interesting, and I got to be honest, I didn't think about this until about 2 days ago. But actually, it wasn't 2 days ago. It was yesterday when I saw the All-Star roster. So I see Pete made the team. And my first reaction, I even texted this in the Mets text chat, was, wow, that shows you how weak first base is. And I thought, okay, so they carried four first basemen. I assumed Freeman, Bryce, and Walker made the team along with Pete Alonso. I saw Christian Walker miss the team.
He did not.
Now, first base after that, there's a major drop-off. Matt Olson has not had a great year. And just look around baseball. There are not a lot of great first basemen. But I look at Christian Walker, who's had a better year offensively. He's had a better year defensively. And I'm like, wow, that's a weird snub. And then I realized that Christian Walker is a free agent, too.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And so Pete Alonso will go into free agency competing with a guy who is 4 years older.
Right. But
he's coming off a better year in all likelihood.
Yeah. Even though, and he's not an all-star. So it's almost, it's one of those things where he gets, maybe forgotten a little bit because he isn't in a major market. The team isn't good, and he's not an all-star, and he's 34 years old.
Well, I think what Walker will get is a short-term big-money deal because of his age, which could hurt Pete Alonso. Because I think teams would prefer to sign that over having to give Pete what he's going to ask for, which is going to be what?
But what's
a seven-year contract?
What's been his history? What's his historic?
So Walker, I would say off the top of my head, has had about three or four really good seasons in a row. He's actually progressing in a positive way despite his age.
Mm-hmm.
He got off to a slower start in the major leagues than Pete did. Pete got off to one of the greatest starts you could ever get off to.
Right.
When you look at what happened in 2019. But that's going to be a comparison that Pete's going to have to face. A guy who's a better defensive player, a guy who's having a better season, we'll see if it continues, and a guy who is a little bit older.
Yeah.
He's 33 years old. Yeah, so if... Right now, Walker's at 22-64 and 853 OPS. Last year, he went 33-103, and the year before that, 36-94. The best of Christian Walker is not better than the best of Pete Alonso, but over the last 2 years, he's trending more up as compared to
Pete. He's getting better, especially if you look at OPS. Whatever, it flipped at 30 for him.
Yeah,
at 30,
which is crazy, right?
He was all sub... I guess he had an 820 OPS in one of those years in Arizona. Actually, there was one he played the most games or up to that point. But still, he feels like he's – and he had won a Golden Glove.
And that's going to bring Pete's value down, which, by the way, I'm not complaining about. That's a good thing because I really do think that Alonso's future will be determined by the money and the contract he gets. And, yeah, I think the Mets are going to be in a spot where they will walk away if the price and the years are too high. But considering the year he's having – is the price in the years going to be too high? Let's go to Mario in Long Beach. What's up, Mario?
How you doing, guys?
What's up, Mario?
Yo.
Yo, I'm here. I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you.
What's on your mind?
Let me take you off speaker.
All right.
You know, Tiki, you were talking something that's been bothering me for a long time about running, right? Can I run something about it?
Go ahead.
This kills me. Somebody hits a ground ball, right?
Yeah.
And then they say they're, like, out by a step. Then I watched the replay. For the first 10 yards, they're watching the ball.
Yes.
If they didn't watch the ball, they are 100% safe. 100%. And it happens all the time.
100%.
Am I right or am I wrong?
No, you're right. Nimmo is the poster child for not doing
that. Put your head down and run.
Put your head down and run. By the way, that's how you have to run. So if you ever watch the Olympics, which are upcoming by pretty soon here, less than a month, I think.
Oh, I know.
You start doing the Olympics.
I've been keeping up to date on the Team Select versus Team USA basketball game. And I got to tell you, there's a certain somebody I've got my eye on, and I'll leave it at that.
Well, you can tell me off air, so I'll be in the know.
Oh, okay.
Anyways, there's a new documentary on Netflix called Sprint.
Yes.
And it's just about the personalities and the lives of the Olympic. The guys are going to be in the Olympics for the United States. It's awesome, right? But if you watch that, you'll see how they come out of the blocks. All of their heads are down. They're driving forward. They're working on their turnover, and then eventually they stand up, right? So they drive down, and eventually they stand up. And so that's how you generate speed. It's just like it's focus on your turnover and then start running. Whereas in baseball, it's like you see these guys jump out of the box, and they have these massive strides, but you're not four-foot running at that point. You're running on your heels, so you're basically hitting the brakes every single time you take a step. So it's why when I was watching Francisco Alvarez, I was amazed. Because when I first saw him in that Atlanta game 2 years ago, I said, dude, this kid is stick-legged. He's not going to be a fast runner. But he actually has turned into a fast runner.
He is a fast runner. That's why the other day when he was pinch run for by Ben Gamel, I was like kind of perturbed.
Yeah,
like,
it didn't make any sense. He doesn't need that.
By the way, I'm just going to let you know. I'm going to get it out of the way now so this doesn't have to be a dancing around issue.
Yes.
I'm not going to bore you.
With?
I'm not going to bore the audience by talking about the basketball team I love. But I still love them, okay? Despite what happened, despite what they're doing, I love them.
Okay.
So I just want to be very clear about what's now going to happen. I will probably make allusions or references to a certain somebody at Duke by the name of Cooper Flagg.
Okay.
Are you aware of his game?
I am not aware of
Cooper
Flagg.
Are you aware of his game, Luke?
I am very aware.
Okay. Why are you aware?
Because many are calling him, like me, a generational talent.
And so generational talents usually go number one. And when
so you want to suck.
The Nets still in the league.
I don't want to suck.
He doesn't have the choice. They're going to suck.
But, yeah, exactly. Well put. I don't have a choice. So
Put it this way, I have a new obsession. Cooper. And that is watching Cooper Flagg play basketball under the guise that somehow the gods will hand me the number one overall pick, and I will get my Loogie, a generational talent.
The Nets still in the league.
But that's the last I'm going to say of this, other than just veiled references every once in a while.
This is why I'm a generational talent.
So, for everyone out there who's a college basketball fan, guess who is too? Me. We're going to be watching Duke basketball every single night. Let's go to Eric in Syosset, New York. What's up, Eric? Hello?
What up?
I'm here.
Okay,
I'm
what's here. Up? What's up?
Just a couple of questions and comments, if I may. Let's start with the easy one. Evan, you got to roll back your arrogance. Ever since you got teamed up with Carton, your whole personality changed.
What do you mean?
And you know what?
I'm not arrogant. Even worse. I believe that I'm a...
Well, why don't you ask your audience whether you are or you aren't. But before...
So are you suggesting that I put a poll...
Do me a favor. Do me a favor and ask your buddy who fashions himself as an intellectual from Virginia.
Oh,
ask him to give you a dictionary so you can look up the word realistic.
Okay.
So that you can learn to pronounce it correctly.
Boy, this guy's on fire.
You are an abomination and you're making fun of a guy pronouncing Chaz Chisholm name incorrectly.
Oh, have a sense of humor.
Oh, don't cast aspersions.
Come on, we're having fun. Haven't you heard some of the mispronunciations of Chaz Chisholm? Have you not? Take a listen. You don't have any, Rosie? Come on, man. We had the last 20 minutes to cue some up.
By the way, as he gets that queued up, Eric sounded like Trump a little bit. Evan Roberts is an abomination.
I know. Meanwhile, I was going to tell him, should I put a poll out there or something? But he just wanted to get to his point. Do you have any examples for Eric who's still listening? Because he doesn't understand the joke, and that's okay. I want to bring him in. Instead of thinking I'm making fun of a poor guy for mispronouncing Jazz Chisholm's name.
Jazzrado Hermes Arrington Chisholm.
That's not the clip! We've got 50 of them! John Sterling did it 5 times! Justin Shackle's done it! Everybody's done it!
Hurley must have banned it.
Oh, is that what happened?
I don't know.
Did he ban the Chisholm mispronunciations?
I'm not allowed to say.
Did he pull them out of the system?
Oh, my God.
Like, individually went in and pulled them all out of the system? So there's only one?
I mean,
the right to censor.
Rosie, you've had a good day until now. This is, you know what this is? An abomination.
Evan in Vermont is on the fan. Now, Evan, how are you?
You can't make things better by playing random clips that have nothing to do with Jazz Chisholm. Loogie, slap him around a little bit later on. See? I'm not arrogant. I'm not slapping him around a little bit. The generational talent is going to slap
him
around.
Bad job by me.
All right, let's go to Joe in Jersey City. What's up, Joe?
Evan, a quick comparison, then a request from you if I can.
Sure.
First of all, a comparison I've been wanting to ask you guys for a while. How about Gleyber Torres and Daniel Jones? Time to get rid of both of them. Too long. How long would it wait for this little spark of goodness that won't last anyways? That's the quick comparison.
Okay.
And a request from you, Evan.
Yeah.
Put out maybe a poll or something. Get me the...
Okay. I'm almost glad John Sterling isn't working anymore. Because if Jazz Chisholm was acquired by the New York Yankees,
we would have to
do hours of Jazz Chisholm home run calls from John Sterling. That's what would happen.
All right.
And I don't want to go down that road. Anyhow, what was this first question?
I don't know.
Oh, Gleyber Torres and Daniel Jones.
Is it a good comparison? As far as having like those couple seasons of really good success and making you think your future. But then now there's the injury issue that he's now got to come back from, Daniel Jones and now Gleyber right now. There is some similarities. I don't know. I'm just more partial to Daniel Jones.
Yeah, I don't buy it. I think it's, I get it.
It's loose. It's very loose.
Yeah, I don't. Anyhow, I got to tell you about this if you haven't heard. So Joe Burrow was on the Pardon My Take podcast. Is that what he was on? I want to give them the proper credit. And Joe Burrow had an idea. That when he first said it and I heard it, I was like, I don't know if I like this. But then I started to think about it and I was like, okay, I think I'm good with this. His idea was 18-game season.
Mm-hmm. Because they're talking about an 18-game season.
Yeah.
Roger Goodell was out and about a couple months ago. He basically said there's going to be an 18-game season at some point.
It's
going
to happen.
It's going to happen.
Just a matter of when and how they execute
it. And while it's a big deal, player health-wise, money is going to increase.
Yep.
And guys are going to take maintenance days.
It's
going to
happen.
That's just what's going to happen.
So Joe Burrow said, let's have two bye weeks, and let's have an all-star break in the middle of the season, probably after week 12 or week 13.
Yeah, but that's one of the bye weeks.
That would be one of the bye weeks. So it's a bye week for everybody.
Everybody.
And that's where we have the Pro Bowl games.
Mm-hmm.
And we almost force people. This is where I think he's actually pretty brilliant. If all of a sudden, in the middle of November, there's a week without football, and they say to us, look, you have a choice. You don't have to watch anything, or we're going to give you these Pro Bowl games in the midst of the season.
Like, and it's all of the Pro Bowl activities, whether it's the skills competition, the flag football, whatever.
Yeah.
It's all going to be in that middle of the season. Because trust me, at the end of the season, nobody cares about the Pro Bowl.
Right.
Nobody even thinks about the Pro Bowl. It's always conversation about the Super Bowl.
Right.
It's just completely and utterly lost.
So you think this would work?
Because it's not a game anymore.
Right. But even with that, it not being a game.
This would work for like craving purposes.
Exactly.
They're still on your mind.
Yes.
You want to know what your superstar D-tackle or wide receiver or quarterback, what they're doing in the bye week.
Yeah.
And now you get to watch it.
I think
it's kind of cool.
I think a lot of people would do that. I think a lot of people would do what I'm about to say,
mm-hmm.
which is I go to my wife and say, you got me. You have a random Sunday in the middle of November, whatever you want, baby. And I think that's going to go a long way for us. I really do. Yeah. I think it is going to give us, if all of a sudden
meaning the football loving husband.
Yes, or wife. Or whoever wife. We're right. giving the break to. Like in my case, it's my wife. If I'm going up to her and saying, you got me for the whole weekend, like I think that's going to like almost rekindle the, oh, okay, this ain't bad. Fine, go back to football after this. I think it's going to help marriages all over the country.
I mean, maybe. It depends on how committed people are to that bye week.
It helps my marriage.
Like,
it'll help.
What are you doing during that bye week?
Well, see, that's the key. You know it. Like, you're off.
Uh-huh.
You're going to make Tracy happy.
Oh, of
you're going to say, you're going to give her what she wants.
We'll go somewhere.
100%. Loogie will screw the whole thing up because he's going to say, honey, I got to watch these Pro Bowl games. I put a couple of dollars on, you know, blah, 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 blah. So it won't benefit him, but for like the sane human beings like me, you, and many people listening, I love this idea because it's going to make my wife happy.
Yeah, I agree. And it pushes the Super Bowl back to the President's weekend, right?
That is true.
Love that. Here's the million-dollar question, though. That Sunday, whatever, November 3rd, does that take the place of, hey, honey, I know Christmas is on a Wednesday this year, but the Jets are playing the Browns at 3 o'clock. I got to watch. Is that trade-off there where she'll allow you to watch it on Christmas on a Wednesday because I gave you that weekend to go apple picking?
People watch it on Christmas anyway.
No, but you know what I mean, Tiki, to get you out of the doghouse, though.
Yeah, so you're not going into the doghouse. I hear you.
Exactly.
Because you gave a free weekend.
Bingo.
I think it helps. Mm-hmm. I don't think it hurts.
Every sport has this. Every sport, major sport, has a bye, time in the middle of the season.
Dude, the all-star break for baseball is in a week. My wife's going to love it
mm-hmm.
because this is why we were talking about it earlier. I'll probably watch the Derby because we're on the air the next day and you know we'll have to talk about it, so it's sort of work.
Right.
But outside of that, I'm basically giving her, I'm not watching anything.
Mm-hmm.
You got 4 days of no Mets interfering. So I think that's a win. I think that helps me 5 days later. I think that helps me 2 weeks later. And I think in this case, I'm looking at the schedule this season. So it doesn't work to do it week 13. Because that's actually Thanksgiving. So it would probably, let's say, week 11 into 12, the week of November 24th, which is actually the weekend where the Jets are off anyway, and the Giants are taking on Tampa Bay. So that is a week before Thanksgiving. It's days before Thanksgiving. It's kind of perfect. Or maybe, it doesn't work. I was going to say, you have Thanksgiving off.
Yeah,
you do. You play the games on Thursday, because that's a tradition, and then there's nothing on Sunday. Now, that makes the buys uneven. That's the only issue. But that could also be perfect. You're giving your wife or husband the weekend of Thanksgiving to say, hey, no football? I'll tell you this. That's working for me. Is it working for you, Tiki?
It definitely works because I don't have to travel that weekend.
See?
That is a non-travel weekend.
I think this is one of the great ideas of all time, and Joe Burrow deserves a raise. So thank you. But not for the reasons people are thinking. I think it's the familiar aspect of things. I think it makes our lives a lot easier.
We'll get back to your calls next, 888-808-1019. Plus, we got the surprise retirement of a major athlete, and he's going to go on a retirement tour for a year and a half? Tiki will teach us why that's a terrible idea. Evan and Tiki here on The Fan. Evan and Tiki here on The Fan on this summer Monday here in New York City. Mets lose today. Yankees can't lose today because they're off, and they begin a very important six-game stretch closing out the All-Star break against the Tampa Bay Rays and the Baltimore Orioles. I don't know if you saw this, but the other night there was a shocking retirement announcement.
Hmm.
Are you aware of this shocking retirement announcement?
No.
Well, let's see if Paul Rosenberg has it ready.
Tonight, I officially announce my retirement from the WWE.
That is the voice of John Cena.
John Cena.
He announced his retirement from WWE.
Oh.
And this came as a shock. My oldest son, Jet, was watching. He's like, wow, John Cena's retiring. My wife even heard it, was like, wow, John Cena's retiring. And then John continued to talk. And he revealed that he's going to wrestle for the entire year of 2025, starting at the Royal Rumble, going all the way until December. Which means not only is John Cena going on a retirement tour, he's going on a retirement tour that starts in 6 months. Which means he's pulling a Francesa. Which, I mean, it's to each his own, right?
Well, I mean, I guess it satisfies, because, I mean, he's legend, right? He's Rushmore, isn't he? Ish.
Mount Rushmore of WWE.
Yeah, is he?
So I think there? I think he's close.
I feel like
he's very close.
See, I didn't pay attention a lot to him as a wrestler. I knew about him as a wrestler. But once he went and crossed the line and went to acting, that's kind of when I started figuring out how he was, like what he was about.
Yeah.
So I guess
to me he's fifth on the Mount Rushmore of WWE superstars.
He's not on Mount Rushmore.
Right. He just misses. To me, this is me speaking. It's Bruno Sammartino, Hulk Hogan, Stone Cold Steve Austin, and your tribal chief, Roman Reigns.
Hmm.
That's how I do it. Okay. That's just me, though.
Yeah.
I think he's just a little bit short, but he's very, very close.
Right.
So he is a legend.
So everybody loves him.
Well,
that's what I'm asking. That's a question.
I think now everybody loves him, but while he was at his best, he was a very controversial figure.
Why?
Because people just didn't like him, and they thought he was being shoved down our throat.
Ah, so when he goes on the road, now he'll be wrestling every week?
Will he do every
tour?
It sounds as if he'll do about 30 to 35 dates on that final year, which is a lot for a professional wrestler.
Especially for a guy that's close to my age.
And a guy who hasn't been full-time in 5-6 years.
Hmm. So what is the reception going to be?
I think the reception is people are excited, but I don't love this with athletes. If you're going to retire, just retire.
But is he actually going to retire?
I believe he will. I know in pro wrestling, like, retirement is such a fake word.
And of course it is a fake word. I mean, didn't The Rock retire years ago?
Rock never retired.
He never officially retired.
Ric Flair retired, came back. Shawn Michaels retired, came back for the Saudi blood money. Undertaker, we thought, retired when he put his hat down in the ring. He came back. Now he has retired.
Yeah. But, because he's like 65 or something.
Yeah, he's an old man.
He was also just at WrestleMania doing an angle, so not really
but
retired.
Come on, he didn't wrestle, bro. He's retired.
So by retired, I mean physically getting into a ring and being beat up or whatever.
Did he wrestle a match? He didn't wrestle a match.
Yeah.
Stone Cold Steve Austin claimed to retire. He comes back 19 years later.
Yeah.
So I agree with you that
So why are they doing this? What's the work here? What are they doing?
I think John Cena is genuinely going to retire. He's an actor now. Like, he doesn't need to do this anymore.
So is The Rock.
But The Rock hasn't retired.
I know, but he's older. The Rock is older.
Well, quite frankly, can I be honest with you? I want to talk a little shop here?
Let's talk it.
The Rock is smart enough and creative enough to reinvent himself. John Cena's the same bubblegum crap we've seen for 15 years. So quite frankly, John Cena isn't
capable as a wrestler.
As a character. He's not capable of reinventing himself the way our future president, Dwayne Johnson, is.
As an actor.
As everything. I mean, look, as everything. Like, The Rock comes back, he pivots, and he becomes this bloody, mean, evil final boss. John Cena comes back, and he's running the same garbage people booed 15 years ago.
You just hit on
it. Am I wrong?
No, but you just hit on it. What have we been robbed as wrestling fans? John Cena as a heel.
He's not turning
so
heel.
So in the retirement tour.
Right. To be the heel, though, you got to be slick.
But everybody wants to cheer you because you're leaving. You're a legend. That's the time to turn heel. And give us that heel run we never got. You love it.
I just don't know if I just don't know if John Cena turning bad, he could pull it off.
I don't think he can.
Like, The Rock is so slick, and he pulled it off.
Yeah.
And it's you kind of didn't know it was happening until you, like, realized, oh, he's heel. And it was awesome, and you loved him for it.
Of course.
You love him as the heel.
Because John Cena ain't The Rock.
I don't think John Cena can pull it off as heel.
I agree with you.
So it's just going to be, I am John Cena, I'm retiring, I'm not kind of really wrestling, but...
As somebody that retired...
I don't know if I love this.
No,
I don't think I love it either.
I think I hate it just because it's like a year and a half of this crap. Do you like when other athletes go on retirement tours?
I mean, it's a game. You're playing a game.
Mm-hmm.
I get it. I understand why you want the adulation. It's why you do it. Right? When I was in Kinky Boots, part of one of the last scenes, is I didn't come here for you. I came here for the adulation. It's kind of awesome. And I thought about that as a player. I was like, dude, you're right. You do it because it's so amazing to be successful and have people cheer for you. So if you go on a retirement tour, it's what you're craving. It's like, tell me how much you love me before I leave.
Pretty much.
Right? That's what it comes down to.
Yes.
I mean, I don't know. I didn't care about that.
If you could go back in time.
Would I want a retirement tour? No.
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 Doesn't it take attention away from everything else?
Absolutely. Important thing is winning. But wrestling... Important thing is putting on a show.
Wrestling is a little bit different.
It's putting on a show.
I do admit that.
Putting on a show.
Who do we want John Cena's last match to be against? You have an opinion real quick?
The Rock.
Get back to The Rock.
Stop it. Yeah, the match we were only supposed to see once, we saw twice. Hogan?
I'm
thinking of a big...
What is he, 70?
At least. I mean, but I'm thinking of a guy, he's never wrestled right, obviously a massive name. I would go Hogan at the Garden end of the year.
And Hogan hasn't officially retired himself?
I don't think so, no.
Yeah, I don't have a good answer for this, by the way. The only answer I have is that it's not Randy Orton, and I'm so sick of people saying that. Randy Orton and John Cena was one of the worst feuds in the history of pro wrestling. It was boring, people hated it, people booed it, and now all of a sudden, because time has gone by, we want that again? Spare me.
So who is it? Then who's it going to be?
I don't have a good answer. I don't have a good answer. What I would do...
So this doesn't make sense. You two are as big of the wrestling fans as I know.
Yeah.
You don't have an answer.
I don't think there's a logical answer.
And so if there isn't a logical answer, why do it?
I think because it'll make a lot of money. I do think that I'll admit, like, I'll be interested. Like, here's what I would do. I would have him go on a run to win his record-breaking championship. He's won as many titles as Ric Flair. He's tied with him. And I would have him go on a run, maybe wins the Royal Rumble, wins all these matches, gets to the main event of WrestleMania, or one of the main events of WrestleMania, and loses, and doesn't actually break Ric Flair's record. So I like the tease of the long road, and we think he's going to break the record.
Why don't you let him break the record?
Because he's John Cena and he's overrated. Hey, stay tuned for Baseball Night in New York, presented by Tri-State Cadillac, coming up next on SNY. I mean, quite frankly, he's had the same act for 15 years.
And right. That's credit to him, though.
Why is that a credit to him?
Because he's done it this long. It's lasted this long. That's how popular he's been. Through everyone wanting him to turn heel, he never
Was the company successful?
I don't think. WWE ever not been successful?
Was Hogan's era more successful? Yes. Was Stone Cold and The Rock's era more successful?
How you define successful.
Just answer my questions. Did they make more money?
I would think Cena probably made more money.
BS.
Just because of where
you are. Cena era sucked. Roman Reigns passed him. The Rock passed him. Austin passed him. Hogan passed him. And even Bruno passed him. So enough of this crap. He's overrated.
I'll remember that when you drop in $2,000 to Sid right by the ring, you and Jet, for Cena's last match at the Garden.
Cena against Braun Breaker.
Clip that and play it back for Evan, how much Cena sucked.
Let's go to Kendrick in Suffern, New York. What's up, Kendrick?
Gentlemen, yeah, with Cena retiring and LeBron probably 2 years away, they were around the same time. In high school, those were my guys. Wow. So to see those two kind of retire, I'm officially an adulthood as a 38-year-old now watching
right.
wrestling. But
right.
I will say, in terms of retirement, how sweet would it be to see LeBron sub out and have his kid come in? That would be a pretty cool ending to his career, too. But I got to come back to Cena here for a second, Evan, because I have coined Pete Alonso the John Cena of the MLB. And once again, the guy is showing his true colors by accepting his bid to be in the Home Run Derby so he could get the spot that is rightfully Francisco Lindor's or Brandon Nimmo's. And I am so tired. You want to talk about the same gimmick for 15 years. We'll be talking about Pete Alonso in 15 years doing his 15th Home Run Derby to hang on to.
Hold on. I want to address this. What do you want Lindor? I'm sorry. What do you want Pete Alonso to do? Say no thanks on the All-Star invite?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
Come on.
First of all,
you can't. He can't.
But
he can't do that, Kendrick.
Time out. I don't think necessarily it was his as much as he probably, you know, campaigned for it so he could get to the Derby again. Because if I had to guess, who's making that pick? It's not like Pete got to say, I'll go and I'll do the Derby. It sounds more, looks from the outside looking in, it looks more like Pete said, if you want me to do the Derby, you give me the spot on the team. And he wouldn't go if it wasn't both. Because to me, there's no way. I don't know who picks the reserves,
right,
to be honest, but there's no way that baseball minds, even though the Hall of Fame voters are losers, but there's no way their baseball minds said, oh, Pete Alonso should go in over and Nimmo.
No, to your point, that was good. Okay, so let's address this. That was a commissioner's decision. Pete Alonso went to the Home Run Derby in 2021. That was a year in which he was not an All-Star. And for a while, if memory serves correct, I always remember the Home Run Derby as being an extension of the All-Star game where you needed to be an All-Star to be at the Home Run Derby. And somewhere along the way, that changed, where you didn't have to. And Pete did that. He showed up at the 2021 Home Run Derby as a non-All-Star, and he won. And I think there's a really good chance Pete Alonso felt uncomfortable about it and probably said, I don't really belong here. I wasn't an All-Star.
Mm-hmm.
So Pete made a decision that I agree with, which is, you know what? If I'm not an All-Star, I'm not going to partake in the competition.
Because I'm going to take part in the Home Run Derby to win it, and there's a good chance that I'm going to take away from someone who actually was an All-Star. So it's kind of unselfish in a way.
Now, did it turn out to be something that has allowed him to be an All-Star in back-to-back years? 22 as well, but I think he earned it in 22.
Yes.
23, 24 is a little bit more Fugazi. Did that create a pressure for the commissioner to say, we want him, he plays into this? Probably. But if Pete made a decision of, I don't want to be a non-All-Star competing in the Home Run Derby, he did nothing wrong.
Yeah,
so what do you want him to do? Say no thanks on the invite?
Yeah, it's not like he's saying this ahead of the All-Star voting, right? If I'm not an All-Star, I'm not doing the Home Run Derby. Hey, commish, if I don't make the Home Run Derby, All-Star, I'm not doing the Home Run Derby. He's not saying that exactly. It's kind of a known.
Here's what I worry about, though, Teague. Here's what I worry about.
Go ahead.
I'm asking you the question.
It's a known position of his.
Oh, yeah.
Not?
Yes, and I have no problem with the position. Here's my one minor concern.
Go ahead.
You could see in Lindor and Nimmo's eyes they were very disappointed that they were not All-Stars.
Of course.
Assuming they
don't. They should be because they actually earned it.
100%. Do you think there is any resentment in that locker room?
No, I don't.
Against Pete Alonso for being an All-Star, in which everybody knows, which I have already said, and everybody agrees, he's not deserving of an All-Star over those guys. Does that create resentment?
No, I don't think so. I think they're happy for him.
Okay.
But they're his teammate, and they've been teammates for a while now. You know, so not like 10 years, but it's been enough years that they're just kind of like, all right, I'm happy for you.
I just thought of the worst
comparison. It's not his fault.
I just thought of the worst comparison. No one's going to answer it. And you're going to say, Evan, don't be a jerk. Would you resent if Boomer got in the Hall of Fame over you?
No.
And would Boomer resent you getting in the Hall of Fame over him?
It's not about that, though.
Exactly, right?
So I mean, the Hall of Fame is very different than the All-Star game.
Yeah, it's a bigger deal.
Well, no. The All-Star game, it's mutually exclusive.
Right.
The Hall of Fame is not. Right, Boomer could get in the Hall of Fame, then I could get in the Hall of Fame.
That's true.
So it is.
In this case, it's over. Like unless there's a replacement,
it just ends. It's done. After this, you know, whatever, 2 weeks from now.
I would just hope, and I'm trusting you. I believe you that would be the only negative to this whole thing.
I think
if Lindor was pissed off, screw this.
If Lindor is pissed, he's not pissed off at Pete Alonso.
Okay,
he's pissed off at the politics of it.
Right.
For whatever reason, him and Nimmo are not All-Star.
And they deserve to be, at least over Pete Alonso. We all agree on that.
Yeah.
Like, no one's fighting Pete Alonso deserves to be an All-Star today.
No.
Mitchell's in Fort Lee, New Jersey. What's up, Mitchell?
Hey, guys. Here we go with the Yankees. I went to 2 games last week. I was there Thursday, and I was there last night. Okay? And it really shows me what the problem with the Yankees have. They have a few problems. Number one, they have no bench. Anyone that come off the bench if you need a hit.
Yep.
That's number one. That's number one. Number two, boom, takes no responsibility for this team. I'll tell you why. This team, everyone, and I'm the only one out of everyone that calls the fan or not, one of the few that I'm a big Cashman fan. Cashman built this team this year. Forget about what he did last year. Let's just talk about what the guy did this year. He built the team up. They're 22 games over 500, and the team goes on a big skid. Well, who do you blame? You have to blame the manager, because Last night, even with Cabrera, if you watch the game, Cabrera, I forgot who it was who was batting ahead of him, hits a ball to second base. He gets out at first base. That's number two. Number three, you have a rookie kid that's a catcher that has a gun. The kid can hit. They play Wells one every 5 days. They put Trevino there. The guy, they steal 9 bases every night. Every team knows it, and they don't do anything about it.
Well, a couple of things. All right, I agree that I want to see more of Austin Wells. He didn't hit last night, but nobody hit last night. But are you really comfortable saying that the New York Yankees' failures over the last 22 games, they are 6-16 in their last 22 games, is on the manager? That it's all him not pressing the right buttons? When the truth is, it's on everybody struggling. It's on the fact that DJ LeMahieu is still on the interstate. Though he did go 1-for-3 last night. Maybe he's off the interstate. Mm-hmm. The fact that he's forced to play Trent Grisham every single day. The fact that he hasn't gotten production out of catcher. The fact that Anthony Volpe has gone through a massive slump to where he's been dropped in the lineup. The fact that Aaron Judge has cooled off over the last 5 games. Bound to happen. Right. That Juan Soto has been cooled off. Like, is it really the manager for all of those things occurring?
No, it's not. It's some of it's bad luck. Some of it is lack of hustle and attention to the details in the moment, like the Glaber thing, like the Volpe thing. But a lot of it is just, I think it's just a malaise that sits over top of this team that only is going to break out when guys start hitting consistently.
Right.
That's simply what it comes down to. Or maybe even it's more pitching, to be honest with you.
It's everything.
But it's everything.
Yeah.
So it's not one guy, and it's not one, I don't know, aura that sits over this team because it emanates from this laissez-faire attitude, emanates from Aaron Boone. Therefore, it's his fault. It's everybody.
When you look at this stretch of games, and I would say that the Yankees' struggles either began, you could take your pick, either began with the blown game against Kansas City, where they were about to sweep the Kansas City Royals, or it really started to get highlighted when Giancarlo Stanton went out in the middle of the Atlanta series.
Yeah.
They are 3-10 in the 13 games since Stanton got hurt. So whatever line of demarcation you want to use, whether it's a week and a half earlier with the Kansas City ending and the Boston series, or it's the middle of the Atlanta series, here's what I have figured out. Not I figured out. It's obvious with your own eyes. But I pulled up the numbers just to confirm our eyes are backing up what we're seeing. Their starting pitching ERA is 6.75.
Yeah.
Their bullpen ERA is also astronomically high.
Yep.
They are averaging 3.5 runs per game, and that comes with the fact that they had 2 games in which they scored a combined 30 runs against Toronto and Boston. They are not hitting.
Mm-hmm.
They are not pitching. They're not stealing. They're not doing anything. And so, is that who they really are? No. They're not the worst team in baseball. I don't think they're this bad.
No.
But it has been an extended stretch of them playing just pound for pound garbage baseball.
Right. And they're doing it for such a long stretch, it's starting to make you feel like that's who they are.
Yes.
Even though that's likely not the case.
I still don't think they are that. We'll get into details on why, plus more of your calls at 888-808-1019.